Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your heart is racing, your hands feel sweaty, your thoughts are all over the place. You know you need to have the conversation. You know that if you don't, things are only going to get worse. So there you are. You're about to speak and you know it's going to be tough. This is the situation the prophet Nathan found himself in. God told him to go and confront the king. He had to confront King David with the sins of adultery and murder. Do you think Nathan wanted to be there? He must probably had reason after reason running through his mind why he could avoid such a stressful meeting. After all, the kings in the surrounding area were all living pretty wild lives. But God didn't want King David to continue to run away from him in his sin. He cared too much for him, so he sent his prophet to go and track him down. God longed for the days when King David would repent, and he did. He confessed his sin, and he trusted in his Savior that his sins were forgiven. The story of King David and Bathsheba is perhaps very well known. Well, the Bible is filled with numerous other stories of people who lose their way, and yet the grace of God finds them. And when this happens, even today, Jesus shows us the joy that comes from rescuing the lost. Our study this morning is going to focus on Luke chapter 15, but before we do that, we're going to just take a step back and look at Luke chapter 14 just to set the scene. Jesus told his disciples that pride and a busy schedule would distract them from what was truly important. He told them that pride and a lack of humility would just pull people away from him. And then Jesus told them something that was quite shocking to the people. He told them that the cost of discipleship was high. He told the people that surrounded him that they would have to give up everything to follow him. So many people stopped following Jesus. Many people decided not to even try to follow Jesus. But the question comes up, what happened to these people? What happens when people lose their way and wander away from God? Well, Luke chapter 15 answers that question. Jesus showed his great love for the people that surrounded him by spending time with them. He spent time with the sinners and the tax collectors. They saw the miracles he performed. They heard his message. And yet they were being crushed by the weight of their sin and their guilt. They had gone off trying to find joy by fulfilling every one of their desires that came along the way. But now they found themselves in a position where they had no lasting joy and they were completely lost. And so Jesus spent time with the tax collectors and the sinners. And this made the religious leaders' blood boil. The religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, couldn't understand how Jesus could spend time with such people. What really made them upset was when they found out Jesus was eating with them. How could Jesus do that? When Jesus looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, he didn't see them as being any better because they approached their relationship with God by trying to be right by their own works. He saw that they were covered in just as much sin and guilt as everyone else. And so Jesus reached out to all the sinners that were surrounding him, including the scribes and the Pharisees. Now that we know who Jesus was talking to, we can better understand his message. Jesus spoke to the crowds using two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. He emphasized the great extent that God goes to in order to find and rescue the lost. Jesus wasn't interested in just associating with sinners. He wanted to actively track them down and rescue them. His actions were intentional and grace-driven. Here's a true story that illustrates it. On the way into the seminary, you drive down Buntrock Street. At the end of Buntrock Street, there is a statue to Police Chief Buntrock. On December 2nd, 1979, with nowhere else to go, an armed robber entered a house and took a father and his infant son hostage. Police Chief Buntrock wasn't interested in just sitting there and trying to assess the situation. He wanted to become actively engaged and involved. And so he proposed an exchange. This was an exchange unlike any other. He wanted to give his life for the father and his infant son. So as the father and his infant son fled the scene, Police Chief Buntrock, unarmed, entered the house. On that night, he gave up his life so that that father and his infant son would not lose theirs. He wasn't content to just sit there and talk about the situation. He wanted to actively engage and find the lost. And yet, when we think about how we associate with the lost, how often don't we put up a barrier between us and those who have walked away from Jesus in his word? How often don't we stand back when we see those who have been held hostage by the devil? Is it because we somehow see ourselves and our relationship with Jesus as being more valuable than theirs? Is it because the joy is often silent when the gospel is laid on a person's heart? Sadly, this is not only to their detriment, but also to ours. Thankfully, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus was on a rescue mission to track you down and rescue you. We wandered around lost. In fact, that's not even completely accurate. We were on a mission to run as far away from God as possible. And thankfully, Jesus pursued us. He did this when he was born as a human being under the law so that he could rescue us from the very laws. Those are the laws that demand nothing less than perfect obedience. Those are the laws we couldn't keep, but Jesus could, did for us. Jesus used what we didn't have to rescue us, and now he wants to rescue those people around us. When Jesus hung on the cross, he thought of you. When he cried out, "It is finished," he announced that his search and rescue mission was finally complete. He announced to you that you were lost, but you are now found. He announced to you that your sins are forgiven, so that you now stand before your God at peace. What's quite amazing about this lesson this morning is that it doesn't stop there. After showing us the joy that comes from rescuing the lost, Jesus then spoke to his disciples about the excitement in heaven over a single sinner who's returned to God's family. We read in verse 6, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." In verse 9 he says, when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." Do you catch it? They didn't just log on to Facebook and say, "Found," update their status, or log into Twitter, and hopefully I'm saying this right, but have the posting hashtag returned. What did they do? The shepherd and the widow actively went out and invited their friends and their family members together, because what was lost was now found. Jesus then made the connection in verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Both the angels and the saints in heaven rejoice when someone is returned to the family of God. They rejoice because there is sorrow over sin and a trust that their sins are forgiven in their Savior. Is there any better reason to celebrate? In verse 10, it's repeated. It says, in the same way I tell you that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Both of these parables point to the celebration in heaven that happens when someone returns to the family of God. This is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to the angels and the saints in heaven. And in this parable this morning, God invites us to join in this celebration as well. After all, His grace, His undeserved love spans space and time, and yet in space and time, God showed you just how serious He was to rescue you from your state of being lost. He did this when He died on the cross, when He rose victoriously from the grave, so that with no doubts you stand before God at peace and forgiven. Well, and He doesn't want us to stop there. He now invites us to go out and to call our friends and our family members and our neighbors. He invites us to reach out to the lost by laying the gospel, the good news about Jesus, on their hearts. He invites us then to ask that the Holy Spirit will continue to create and strengthen trust in Jesus. This is something we pray for. We pray that the Holy Spirit will allow the gospel to take root. We pray that we will be able to rejoice with our friends, our family members, and our neighbors eternally in heaven. This is the same joy and excitement that King David had as he recounted God's gracious actions towards him, as he remembered how God had forgiven his sins. In fact, in Psalm 32, he cried out, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you are upright in heart." This is the same song of joy we sing in our hearts too, because we were lost but are found. Jesus shows us the joy that comes from rescuing the lost. Amen.